For the word, thank you for the anointing on me, and we give you praise for not only this word but a demonstration in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, look what it says here in verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Verse 16, therefore it's of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17, as it is written, I made thee a father of many nations before him or like him who believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Amen. All right, we got some territory to cover here. The thing that we talked about last time is that in the garden, Adam was there. God made Adam and Eve. He created them. And verse 1, chapter 1, verse 26 said, and God said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing creepeth upon the earth. You know, I have to go back to it every now and then. And sometimes my wife is like that, you know. I can just share this because she doesn't mind. But we're going somewhere, you know, and we kind of lost, you know, and I said, hey, you know, where are we? She started looking at the map. I said, well, here's a man right outside here, right, pumping gas. Why don't we just ask him? Well, let's look at the map. I said, now, why don't we just ask the man? He just open his mouth and just tell us. And we don't have to. So, so what happened as God created Adam and Eve? Verse 28. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish, the sea, over the fowl of the air, and every living thing that moveth upon this earth. Now, God now is creating mankind, Adam and Eve. Now, in this garden is a kind of a kingdom. It's kind of a kingdom of heaven. It's the way heaven was, very peaceful. And there was no rain, water even came up by a mist that watered the flowers and so forth. Just ideal. And this was a type of country. And over in Hebrews it says that Abraham searched for a city. And that's searching for a city whose builder and maker is God. It's like looking for this place that's this utopia. And that I believe it's built in every one of us to search for this city, to look for a place where we don't have to struggle anymore for provision. Amen. And all of that. Now, I'm not going to get into that, but that's the idea. When you go over in Hebrews, Adam searched for a city. This is what he was looking for. He's looking for, Abraham. He was looking for where Adam was the first. So now, Satan was loose. And Satan was now, God warned Adam, said, don't eat of that tree. And then in chapter 3 of Genesis, here comes the serpent tempting the woman. Now, she ended up eating of the fruit and then giving to Adam, and he did eat. Once he did, the eyes of both of them were open. And God, now they ran from the presence of the Lord, and God called Adam and said, where are you? Now, God wasn't talking about Adam's location. He was talking about his headship. Adam had lost headship over the earth. Now, headship is an anointing. It's more than a position. And so Adam had lost that. And then Adam, the Bible says, was afraid in verse 10, and because he was naked. And he said, God said, well, who told you you were naked? And verse 12, the man said, the woman you gave me. Now, this is interesting how people try to justify their own mistakes, trying to put it on somebody else. Now, I want you to hear this because we're going to really deal with some things here today. So now, then he came to Eve and said, Eve, what have you done? So forth and so on. And she said, the serpent beguiled me. Now, I don't know if you know what beguile means, but it has to do with deception. And when somebody's deceived, they think they're doing right. How many of you have ever thought you were doing right, but you were doing wrong? You end up doing wrong. Okay, some people didn't raise their hands up. I have been there before. Not only did I think I was right, but I got loud. No, y'all with me? Because I know I'm right. And you know, those kind of people you can't do much with. Because that's a fool right there. That's it. So anyway, went to Eve and said, Eve, what have you done? She said, the serpent beguiled me. Now notice who she finally pointed out. The serpent. Now, that's going to play out over here in a lesson we call vengeance and recompense. Because for you to get your recompense, you cannot take a person to the court of heaven. You must take Satan. That's a very powerful truth for you. Because think about it. He's the father of lies. He's the author of confusion. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying when Peter told Jesus, said, you don't have to go to the cross. He didn't say, get thee behind me, Peter, did he? What did he say? You got to accuse the right one. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. You are not. I know you. Well, they hurt me. You still can't take them. Not to the court of heaven. You might be taking them down to Cook County, but you can't take them to the court of heaven. Amen. Now, this is very important because you got recompense coming.
Okay. That's right.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
You remember what happened? Jesus said, God said, on a certain day, I'm going to release Israel from Egypt.
Yes.
And they're not going to come out of there empty.
Amen.
Notice he had to take vengeance first. Amen. He had to stop Pharaoh in his tracks. And then he had to take recompense. Everything that they worked for, God gathered it up and gave it to his people.
Yes.
I'm saying everything, heaven has kept account of everything that you have been defrauded out of, everything that every time you've been humiliated, every time, and Satan is behind the whole thing.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I want my stuff. One day they were poverty stricken and in slavery. The next day they were millionaires.
Right.
One day. So you follow what I'm saying now? All right, so as we move on down here, now we're talking about the kingdom and setting up the kingdom on the earth or in the earth. Now, Satan, because of what Adam did, took ownership, because that's what we're talking about, okay? We're talking about we're talking about training for reigning right now, undertaking ownership. Let's go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, please. Luke chapter 4. Let me know when you get there. Boy, I got some good stuff here for you. Just hold on now. That's why the enemy tried to stop me this morning. But I will not be stopped. All right, look what it says in Luke chapter 4. Verse 5, and the devil took him up to a high mountain, took Jesus now, and showed him all the kings of the world in a moment of time. These are temptations. And the devil said to him, all this power will I give you and the glory of them, for they have been what? Delivered unto me and to whomsoever I'll give it. In other words, it's mine. So what did Jesus come to do? He came to take it all back and to put it back into the hands of its rightful owners. He brought a shift of power. Now, who are you? Over in John, Romans chapter 8, it says you are joint heir with Christ. Question, who is he? He's the head. Who are you? You're the body. Does the head and the body get the same thing? Come on now, come on now. Get the same thing. My point to you is you're a joint heir with him. Everything he got back, you got back. He got the earth back. Why pay for something that belongs to you? All right, I'm going somewhere. Now, what we said about the kingdom of God is not a democracy. We said that it is a theocracy. Now, what does theocracy mean? It means God rule. All right? Now, people have problems with that, especially coming from this kind of democracy that we come from right here. God rule means one God, one man. No confusion. You with me? All right, now what am I saying? I'm saying that I know we form church boards and so forth like that. And the Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. There is. There is. Safety. Now, but no board is making the final decision. Now, what folk do who come from the world, they have a problem with that because they say absolute power corrupts. There is no absolute power but God. If you will look in your Bible, you will see that in Daniel chapter 2, God said he'll raise up one and he'll take down another. Jesus said, upon this rock, I build Joe's church. No, he said, my church. He owns it. That means he knows how to run it. That's right. And he knows how to remove one and put up another. Right. Now, I'm saying because what we're trying to do is bring the church down to where we got something to say about it. But here's the deal. The deal is that God has given us a formula or coalition for the power to flow that will absolutely devastate the powers of darkness. See, and you can't get this except through teaching the kingdom. See, when we're in places, the gospel is effective enough to change society. And when you are preaching a gospel that society has not changed, then you're preaching the wrong gospel. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of who? Christ. For it is the what? Power of God unto salvation. Keep going. To everybody that'll believe it. When we first came here, this village did not look like this. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. You can buy a piece of property over across the street for $100,000+. Try to do that now. Look at the improvements. Look at the things that have happened. I'm saying that as we're preaching the gospel of the kingdom, we're talking about coming into a place and transforming it into the garden. We're talking about renewing people's lives. We're talking about making ruined places like a Garden of Eden. The gospel, the power of the gospel. You can preach it and leave it, and it'll do the work. That's how powerful it is. The thing of it is some people who are preaching it don't believe it. Now, so, y'all still with me? We need power to make our enemies submit. Psalm chapter 66 coming over there. Let me know when you get there. Hello. Look at verse 3. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies do what? Submit themselves to you. See, somehow we thought we could just talk people into the kingdom. But that's not exactly so. In fact, some of the religions, they can talk just as good as you can. But what you've got different is you've got some power that's accompanying what you say. And I'm saying that the gospel of the kingdom is coming with power. Now, let's keep going. So let's look at what happened to Israel. Now, this is the devil working, trying to get the power out of the church. Because we're going to reign as kings. And we're training for reigning right now. All right, remember what I said, that the church is not a democracy. Keep going. It is a theocracy. What does theocracy mean? It's God ruled. Okay? Now, let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 8. Let me know when you get there. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, this is when Israel wanted a king. Here's what they said, verse 5. And they said unto him, unto Samuel, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk in thy ways, not in thy ways, pardon me. Now make us a what? A king to judge us like who? All the nations. Verse 6, but the thing displeased Samuel when they said this, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. So God wanted to reign over them. But notice what they did. They rejected God. Now watch this now, verse 10. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that ask of him a king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariot. He will appoint him captains over thousands, captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. He will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take a tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. He will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and you shall be his servants. And you shall cry out in that day because of your king, which you shall have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, no, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. In other words, we want somebody we can stone when we get tired of it. Somebody we can talk about when we don't like his decisions. And Samuel heard all the words of the people and rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto the voice and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man to his city. So what did God decide to do for these people? All right, now notice, God wanted to be their king. God wants to be your king. Got it? But it's interesting how the people want a man. They want somebody that they can feel, touch, smell, and stone. I'm going somewhere with this. Now, what did God do? God said, okay, go ahead and pick you one. But if you pick him, I'm going to tell you right now, he's going to abuse you. See? Because you're picking him based on how he looks. Let's go to the next chapter. Go to the next chapter. Verse 2. And this is talking about Saul. This is their choice now. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man, and goodly. That means good looking. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. Boy, he was good looking. From his shoulder and upward, he was higher than any of the people. He was tall. Matter of fact, he was taller than anybody in Israel. Good looking. Fine women. Fine. Probably had a deep voice. Hello. But as it turned out, he was just as crazy as a goose. No, I'm just talking about something now. That they were picking one of their choice. And it's amazing, if you let the people pick one of their choice, they will pick one that will eventually use them. But he didn't tell you to go to the church of your choice. He told you to go to the church of his choice. The Holy Spirit has a congregation for you because he has a pastor that you need. Now, pretty soon Saul lost it. He just went crazy. And God picked another one. Now he went to the house of Jesse. Asked Jesse, Samuel went there, said, God sent me here. He's gonna pick somebody who's gonna be a king. He said, okay. My boys just got from the health club. Come on in here, y'all come on in here. And they paraded before him one by one. He said, no, none of these are the ones. And he asked the question, sometimes you gotta ask the right question. Do you have any more boys? Well, I got one out there, guitar picker, he out there keeping sheep. And here come, he called him. They called him in here. Here come David. What's up, Sam? What's up? Where we at, man? And Samuel said, this is he. Now, I'm letting you know that because God doesn't judge people like you judge. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, here's David. And David now is going to be used by God. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 31, please. Jeremiah chapter 31. Are you with me so far? In Jeremiah chapter 31, just a minute, I was looking up something else. He said in verse 33, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. Now this is a prophetic word from Jeremiah talking about the church. I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their what? Inward parts. I will write it in their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their what? Iniquity. And I will remember their sins what? No more. Now, what is this saying? This is saying that God says, wait a minute. I'm going to make it so everybody can hear me. I'm going to make it so I'm going to put a new heart in them that I'll be everybody's king. My job is not to do all your praying for you. My job is to get you mature enough so that you can pray for yourself. See, I'm not trying to create you to have to depend on me like that. So now, everybody can hear him. Now, God's now is raising you up. And like a mustard seed, he's going to plant you in the world. Now, wherever you go, you got to understand that you're in the world, but not of the world. You got stuff in you that the world does not have in them. Now, wait a minute. The outside may look like a chevy. But under the hood, you got something that a chevy don't have. Oh, you follow what I'm saying? Now, what he's calling you to do, and this is the word I got, is that he wants you to be faithful. Faithful. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 21. God wants you to be faithful. Why? Because you're going out there. And the tempter is out there. And his job is to take away your power. Just like he did Samson. His job is to put something in front of you to lure you into a place that would soon embarrass you. Because he's got to stop the forward progress of the church. Are you with me? So you've got to be vigilant. You got to be wise. You got to be on guard. Now understand, you're full of love, but you got something else under your hood. And you can see something they can't see. Got it? Now understand, they're not your problem. Your problem is the demons. The devil himself has schemed against Eve, has schemed against you. So now, faithful. What does faithful mean? How does one characterize the word faithful? Let me give you my definition. Faithful meaning to maintain an allegiance to someone or something, to be constant, to be loyal, having or showing a strong sense of duty or responsibility. The Bible says in Lamentations chapter 3, God is faithful. We've heard it sung, faithful, faithful to thee. Jesus, the Bible says, is a faithful high priest. That's found in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Now, God wants us to be faithful. If you remember Joseph, and what happened was Joseph was in the house of Potiphar. Come on now, you're being planted in the world. But even though he was being planted in the world wasn't in him. So Mrs. Potiphar got him, and she started making eyes at Joseph. And Joseph, young man, looked good, and she asked him to lie with her. Now here's what Joseph said. Joseph said, well, I can't sin against my God. Are you with me here? All right, now, as God puts you out in that arena, you're not alone. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. So he is with you right now. You don't need to cry, hope he comes. He's with you right now. So now, stay with me. Y'all with me? Now, this is basically what happened to David. He saw this girl on the rooftop. Uh-oh, yeah, okay. And she looked good to him. He brought her in, so forth. Now she's expecting. He didn't know what to do. But he tries to cover it. But then one day he got a knock at the door and he said, who's there? Nathan. And he came in and told David something about a man who lost his goat or whatever. And the king came and got his goat and prepared the goat for a guest the king had. But the king had plenty of goats and didn't take his, took the young man's who only had one goat. He said, David, what will you do to him? He said, I'll kill him, bring him here. He said, David, the man is you. Now, I want you to see something here, because I'm going somewhere with this. God's going to put you out there and raise you up, and you're going to have great influence, because that's what time we're coming into now. But let God raise you up. Because the enemy would love for you to raise up yourself. Or let the world try to make you think you got something you don't have. Are you with me? Now, what am I saying? I'm going somewhere. I'm saying that God's got to put something in you that'll be stronger than what's going to come against you. Got it? And the tendency that we have, as my mother used to say, we start smelling ourselves. Do y'all know what I mean by that, smelling yourself? Yes. We start thinking we all that. And now, getting raised up. Now, it's kind of tragic what happened to the golf player here recently.
Now, you man, preach. Come on, preach.
I'm telling you, for some reason, my heart goes out to him. It goes out to her, too. It goes out to her, too. But it really goes out to him, because I really don't think he knew that was coming.
My Lord.
Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes.
I'm saying that sometimes we get out there and get some of the wrong associations. I'm gonna tell it now. And the next thing you know, we're running with somebody. I think I can use the term big dogs. And the next thing you know, we're doing some stuff that our daddy didn't teach us. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying now you're going to learn something here, because I got to speak into your life.
Amen.
And if you look here, Nathan was a prophet who spoke into David's life. But if you look at this other place, I got you at 1 Chronicles, don't I? Look at verse 9. And the Lord spake unto God, unto Gad, who? Who was Gad?
David's
what?
Seer.
What is a seer, somebody? Prophet. David had a prophet. And I think the further up you go up the line, the closer you're going to have to stay to the prophet. Do you hear what I'm saying? I believe for more reasons than one now. Because one thing is, the prophet is a seer, meaning that he could see what's coming and who's coming. He's able to determine the direction and timing of God. And a king needs a priest. A prophet in this case. And I think what that young man didn't have, he didn't have a prophet. He didn't have somebody that could warn him. Brother, you got a storm coming in your life. Come on now. So I'm just saying, now I'm going to have to preach some strong stuff. Because I got to make sure that you don't get caught in the okey-doke. So, I'm just going to say it. So when you go out on a date or dinner, keep your panties on.
All right.
Now, just hear what I'm saying. See, I'm telling you. See, listen to what I'm saying now. The guys should be able to take a woman and take her out. And be able to take her out without her, just dropping on step there. But taking her out and be able to take her out to dinner and have a nice dinner. And after that, take her back home or to the apartment. Watch this. Let's say, Mary, we had a wonderful time.
Yes.
Thank you so much for going out with me.
Yes.
God bless you.
Yes.
You follow what I'm saying? Now, but the world, see, we want to be like the world. That's what Israel said. We want to be like the world. And the world says, wait a minute now, I spent all this money on you. Is anybody home? Come on now. And my point to you is they're looking for something. On the make, trying to find a piece of cake. And let me tell you something. We got to teach the church better than that. Because the man would say, wait a minute, I'm only human, man. No, you're not. That is the first wrong confession that'll lead you down the same road that this other brother got caught in. I am firmly convinced that he did not know that this thing was going to blow up like that. Think about it. He is one of the most popular people in the world.
Amen.
Blew up.
Yes.
Just for a thrill. Well, my heart goes out to her too, the whole family. But it didn't have to happen. And I believe if you got a prophet speaking into your life, if you got a man of God that's got enough guts to tell you that, wait a minute, if you're in a wrong relationship right now, this date, what date is it? The 12th of December? 13th? Break it off. Because I know how it is in the world. See, that's why they call him Playboy. Because the men never grew up. They never grew up. And sin has consequences. God will forgive it, but it's got consequences. And some of this is what I'm going to have to start speaking into your life. Because you will not be a victim. See, people use David. Well, Brother David, you know, he fell short and so forth. Well, okay, come on over a little bit more. How about Joseph? He didn't. He didn't. He cut out. He ran. Now, you see some stuff that looks strong. You know, start backing off. Say, hey, sister, I appreciate you. But I'm out. I'm talking to some brothers right now. Because I'm telling you, I know, man, listen, I'm married now and that's my woman and that's it. Don't be for me. So ain't no other thing. But I'm saying, before I was, man, I'm telling you, I said, Lord. Now, I know I'm saved. I'm trying to help. I'm trying to live. Lord. And boy, the enemy knows what you like. And boy, next thing you know, somebody starts switching up your head. Man. And you ain't. You ain't all that, but they make you think you are. Talking about your muscles, and you ain't got no muscles. You're just as flabby as I don't know what. Talking about, I like that tie, and that is the ugliest tie.
Go ahead, tell me.
Now, is this the right bunch I'm talking to? David had his prophets, because that's one of their jobs, to speak in your life and to see the devil coming and cut him off. And cut him off. You will not be a victim. You will not be a victim. And I thank you. And I think one of the greatest things that can happen to him now is that he gets a priest in his life. He's a priest now. Need to come back. Because the more powerful you get, the stronger that thing gets up there. The more seductive it gets. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, I know everybody don't want to hear this. Watch this. Watch this. But I'm going to preach it anyway. I see what's been trying to happen. And it's been trying to come in, bring people in, and make you water down your word so you won't offend anybody. Let me tell you something, folks. The word of God should be like Lysol. Clean you out. Now, but listen, I know we got a lot of models out there today, but they're not God's models.
Amen.
They're not God's models.
Yes, sir.
And we got to come back to God, because when we do, the power comes back.
Yes.
And we need the power.
Yes.
Isn't this wonderful?
Amen.
Now, I know some people don't like it. Well, I don't think I'm coming back there. Hey. Wonderful. No. The thing of it is I realize now that if you go to this thing where you're trying to satisfy everybody, you're going to end up compromising everything. So I'm not like that. If you want a watered down message, go down the street.
Amen.
If you want this straight with no chaser, come up in here.
Amen.
But we're going to make it so that you're going to reign. And you're not going to get up there and get in trouble and your name be all over the newspaper.
Right, right.
For something that you didn't do. No, did do or something. Okay, y'all with me?
Amen.
Y'all still love me? Our kids are waiting on role models. Now, I'm not going to preach anymore because I need to go home. But that priest that you got, God uses that priest to give you information that perhaps can't be gotten by any other source. But you've got to place a demand on that anointing. And you can only do that if you respect the anointing. So as you respect the anointing and use your faith, the faith you have is the anointing connector. And it will give you information that will set you free and prosper you. $40 million is coming to somebody right now. All right, give the Lord a praise. Give him a praise. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Now, y'all see, I had to say what I had to say. I really hate my man got caught in that, man. And I know what happened. He got mixed up with the wrong crowd. Well, I probably know who the crowd is. But they all need a priest.
Amen.
Because when they come to me, I'm going to have to tell them. And I ain't going to bite my tongue about it.
Amen.
Because watch this, I'm not trying to get their money.
Come on.
I'm trying to get them in favor with God. If you're here, and God, my voice was rough today, but y'all got the message. Y'all see why the devil tried to shut my voice off? Because, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm glad I can preach that kind of thing and not fear anybody. I can just preach it now another way. Because I know I got at least 300 that are ready to go with me. You ready to go with me wherever I'm going? You ready to go with me? Okay, if you're here and God has spoken to your heart about being born again, this is the first step to it. Now, somebody says it's hard to live like that. Here's the deal.